今仔要读个经文，记载伫《列王纪上》第八章二十七节到五十三节。二十七节，神正是徛伫地顶吗？看，天甲天顶的天，尚且不足你徛伫诶，何况我所建的这殿呢？为求耶和华我的神垂顾仆人的祷告祈求，俯听仆人今日在你面前的祷告呼召，愿你昼夜看顾这殿，就是你应靠立为你名的基础，求你垂听仆人向出处祷告的话。你仆人甲你民以色列向出处祷告的时阵，求你伫天顶你的居所垂听，垂听你下面。人若得罪人下，有人叫伊起誓，伊来到这殿，伫你的大前起誓，求你伫天顶垂听，判断你的仆人。令恶人有罪，照伊所行的报应伫头顶；令义人有利，照伊的义受罪。你的民以色列若得罪你，败伫仇敌面前，又归向你承认你的名，伫这殿内祈求得果，求你伫天顶垂听。下面你民以色列的罪，使因归向你，使等因的列祖之地。你的民因得罪你，你刑罚因，使天拜必杀无落雨，恁若向此处得过，承认你的名，离开因的罪，求你伫天顶垂听。下面你仆人以色列民的罪，将当行的先道指甲因，请降雨伫因的地，就是你赐给你民为业之地。国中若有饥荒、瘟疫、旱风、梅烂、蝗虫、蚂蚱，亦有受敌环境围困下一。无论做有啥物灾的疾病，你的民以色列，或是众人，或是一人，自国有罪，向这殿祈求，无论祈求啥物，得过啥物，求你伫天顶你的居所垂听下面，你是知影人心的，着照国人所行的对待因。使因伫你赐给阮列祖之地顶，一生一世敬畏你。论到不属你民以色列的外邦人，为你名点远方而来，向这殿祷告，求你伫天顶你的居所垂听，照着外邦人所祈求的而行，使天下万民都认捌你的名。敬畏你，像你的民以色列一样，由使因知影我建造这殿是称为你名下的。你的民若奉你的差遣，无论往何处去，以修德精进，向耶和华所选择的城，以我为你名所建造的殿得过。求你伫天顶垂听，因会得果祈求，使因得胜。你的民若得罪你，你向因发怒，将因交给仇敌，掠到仇敌之地，越远越近，因若伫掠到之地想起罪来，回心转意，祈求你说：阮有罪了，阮误业了。阮作恶了，因若伫领到之地，尽心尽性归服你，又向家己的地，就是你赐给因列祖之地， 甲你所选择的城，并我为你名所建造的殿得过。求你伫天顶，你的居所垂听因的祷告祈求，为因伸冤，饶恕得罪你的民，赦免因的一切过犯，使因伫了因的人面前蒙怜恤，因为因是你的子民，你的产业是你踮埃及领出来脱离铁炉的。愿你的眼目看顾仆人，听你们以色列的祈求，无论何时向你祈求，愿你垂听。主耶和华，你将阮踮地顶的万民中分别出来，做你的产业，是照你领阮列做出埃及的时阵，加你仆人摩西所应许的话。圣经读到一节，愿主所一概给吾。
那伫姊妹，当咱咧读这段经文的时阵，主要看到是所罗门献殿以后，然后伊开始一个祈祷。
Brothers and sisters, when we read this passage today, we see that Solomon offered a prayer to God with the building of the temple.
然后咱知影，咱曾经不思想了。
And we have discussed before that we learn about God through this prayer. And we have previously discussed that through this prayer, we know that our God is a God who reveals himself. Because we know that God lives in the universe. But we also know that he filled the temple. And what does it mean when he filled the temple? It means that he was telling his people that he was accepting this temple. Because our God is a God who reveals himself. And he reveals what he wants to us. Now we know that our God is both a transcendent and an immanent God. When we say transcendent, it means that he lives outside of our physical world. When we say imminent, it means that he has effects on our world. So in other words, while he is of transcendent nature, meaning he is outside of this world, he is still imminent, he is still inside our world. And because of this, he's able to tell you and me what he wants. And he has revealed to us what he wants and who he is. And so because of this, we do not need to guess who our God is. Because the more we guess, then the higher the chance that we are guessing incorrectly. So our God does not need to be guessed as to who he is. And this is what we discussed the previous time. And the second point we discussed last time is that God is a faithful God. Meaning that whatever he promised, he will fulfill. But if God did not answer, if God did not promise, then he does not need to fulfill. But the things that God has promised, he will fulfill, just as he promised Solomon that Solomon will build the temple, and Solomon did indeed build the temple. And why can God fulfill the things he has promised? It's because first, he has the power to do so.
第二，伊答应嘅物件有心去完成。
And second, he has the will to do what he has promised.
然后，咱知影上帝也未未记得，对无？伊答应嘅，伊拢会记得。所以呢，伊所讲嘅物件有法当完成。
And at the same time, he is a God who does not forget his promises.
因为无论人是真有失信、无信用，上帝依然是有信嘅上帝。
Because regardless of mankind, mankind's nature, God is a God who will fulfill His promises.
So this is the second thing we discussed.
So this is the second point we discussed. Now, today we have three points that I want to share with you.
第三方面，今天咱要看哦，咱的上帝吼是一个亲近的上帝。
Now the third point, which we will discuss firstly today, is that God is an intimate God.
为什么我讲上帝是一个亲近的上帝？
Now why do I say that He is intimate?
但是当你头这么读一段长的经文的时阵，
now when you read the long passage earlier,
然后你来看第二十七节的时，
if you look at verse 27,
了，这个是所罗门讲，上帝果然真正伫这地上吗？看天甲天顶的天，拢无法当到夜里来徛，何况你这个。
But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built?
所以所罗门真清楚知影这个上帝世界这个物件根本要对你也无够也对你。
So it was clear to Solomon that nothing in this world can contain God.
所以何况遐尼大无当对你，何况这个殿啊
？So if the Heaven cannot contain you. How much more can this small temple contain you? Now, since this temple cannot contain you, why did God want this temple to be built? There is only one reason. What is that? It is because He wants people to have an opportunity inside the temple to be close to Him. And that they may have an opportunity to pray inside the temple. So if you look carefully at Solomon's prayer, we see that he was praying that when people come to this temple and pray, may you listen to their prayers. When a man has committed sin and he wants to repent of his sins, may you hear his prayer. When a man goes the wrong way and he comes to this temple, may you listen to his prayer. So in the entire prayer, we see one point. In other words, is that God can hear your prayers. And when you come near Him through prayer, He is also near you. Let me tell you, that is a very precious thing. Because when man sins, now earlier in the Garden of Eden, man and God had a very close relationship. But after the fall of man, man had to hide from God. And man could not face this holy God. But look carefully. God said, Adam, where are you? It means that God was looking for man. So God gave man the opportunity to be near him. Why? Because God wants to be close with man.
So God gave man the opportunity to be near him.
So when God made the tabernacle, and when God blessed the temple, what was the purpose? It was for man to be intimate with God. So we know that our God is an intimate God. And I tell you, this is something very beautiful. But let me tell you one good thing. What's that? Because being believers in the New Testament is an even bigger blessing than being a believer in the Old Testament. Why do I say this? Because there's a difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the first big difference
is,
before, when the Israelites wanted to go before God, they had to go to the temple. But in the New Testament, when you and I became believers of Christ, we can go near Christ at any time. We do not need to go to a temple to be near Him. And at any time we have a need, we can tell our God. Why do I say this? Because when we became believers, the Holy Spirit dwelled inside us. In other words, the moment we believed in Christ, the Holy Spirit has already dwelled inside us. So wherever we go, God is with us. There is no more requirement of being in a temple. He is with us. And I tell you, this is a very precious thing. Because of this, wherever you go, you can go to God in prayer. And this is the first major blessing in the New Testament. Second, when in the Old Testament, when the people wanted to go near God, they have to go through the priest. And when the people wanted to repent, they had to offer sacrifices. And again, the sacrifices have to go through the priest. And every day on the day of repentance, atonement, only the high priest could go inside the Holy of Holies and ask God for forgiveness on behalf of the people. But in the New Testament, in 1 Peter
2:9,
it says that we are a royal priesthood. It means that when you and I became believers of Christ, you and I became priests. And we no longer needed a human mediator to go to God. Because in Christ's name we can go to God. You know, I have a friend who is a pastor in New York. And at the time he was a very mischievous person. And when he was in seminary, Youth Gospel Center, he was very naughty. Now he studied in USD. And once his theology professor, he asked his theology professor, and he asked the teacher who was a priest, Father, if you sinned, who will you pray to? So if the priest sins, who does he pray to? So in the Catholic, when a commoner sins, he has to make repentance to a priest. But if the priest sins, who does he confess to? He has to confess to the bishop. But he's very naughty. If the bishop sins, who does he confess to?
Archbishop.
He goes to the archbishop. He has to go to the archbishop to confess. But, Father, what if the archbishop sins? Who does he go to?
The cardinals.
He goes to the cardinal. He goes to the cardinal. And again he asks, what if the cardinal sins? He goes to the Pope. And again he asks, what if the Pope is the one who sins? And at this point the priest was unhappy and he replied, the Pope does not sin. Now let me ask you, can the Pope sin? Can he? Especially this one. Because this current Pope sometimes says weird things. If you look at his recent sermons or his recent messages, they're completely different to what the Catholic Church. But we have to thank God. You and I don't need to look for another man to confess. So you do not need to confess to a pastor. And do not think that the pastor's prayer is more powerful. The Bible never said that the pastor's prayer is more effective. Earlier, if you carefully read, what did it say? It says that a righteous man's prayer is effective. That's what the Bible says. So in other words, you and me, as believers of Christ, we are righteous. So as long as you will pray in Christ's name and depend on Him, your prayer will be heard. And I tell you, this is something very beautiful. And I tell you, God listens to prayers. Now let me ask you, does God listen to big things about prayer? Now let me ask you, does he also listen to minor requests in prayer? Does he? Yes, he does. Earlier, when I was still in YGC and I had to commute back home at night, there were times when I was very tired. And you know what I would always pray about? I would say, God, you know, I'm going to take a nap. Now, when I'm going to arrive at my stop, please wake me up. And every time I would arrive in Malabon, Bayan, and you know, if you're familiar with the area, before arriving at Bayan, there is a bridge. Now, after that bridge, that is my stop. But oftentimes, right before crossing that bridge, I would wake up. And I would always pray, God, please wake me up. So I tell you, God listens to both major and minor requests. But when God listens to prayer and whatever He gives you, that is good. And if He doesn't grant your wish, then it means that what you are asking for is not good for you at that time. But let me tell you, what is even more precious? It's not the thing you prayed for, but rather that you had the opportunity to come before God. That intimacy, that is more precious. Because God is an intimate God. So in any time we can pray to God through Christ. We can pray while we're driving. But don't close your eyes. You can pray while keeping your eyes open. And when you're taking an exam, you can pray that, God, please help me remember. And other people pray a very unique prayer. Lord, please make sure that the teacher does not ask questions that I did not study
about.
You know, some people ask
this prayer.
And sometimes God says, oh, it's okay, I'll let you go this one time, and He doesn't issue those questions. But this kind of prayer shows that the student did not study. You see, my point, because God is an intimate God. And He made this temple so that man can be near Him. So we see in Solomon's prayer that God is an intimate God who we can have an intimate relationship with. Second, aside from being an intimate God, our God is a God of love. Why do I say this? Because if we look at verse
23,
which we read the last time,
Verse 23 says,
and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you, in heaven above, on earth beneath, keeping covenant and showing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. You know, our God is a loving God. We see that our God is a God of love because He promised, He answered the Israelites and promised them that He will give them a land and that they will be His people. But think about it. Do the Israelites deserve this? Actually, they don't. They do not deserve anything. But they were able to receive these things because of God's love. So in other words, you and I have, whatever it is we have, is because of God's love. You know what's the difference? Why does God have love? God has love because He is love. Because He is the source of love. Because He is the source of love and He is love, then the things He do has love. So, today, do not doubt God's love. God truly loves us. When you look at Solomon's prayer, when someone has sinned, may you forgive them, and God does forgive him. Our God is a God of love. So let me tell you, do not doubt God's love. But why does man oftentimes doubt God's love? There are two reasons why man often doubts God's love. First, is the misconception that we deserve the things we have. We think that we deserve whatever it is we have right now. And because I deserve something, God, you have to give it to me. If you don't give it to me, it means that you do not love me. And because we view things through this lens, then we think that God does not love us. But if we look at the Bible, let me ask you, when the Israelites left Egypt, they were actually slaves. That they have a country, that they have a place right now.
我问你, 这个是不是恩典啊?
Let me ask you, isn't that a blessing? That's love.
所以有时阵哦，当咱有了这样的物件了的时阵， 我咱感觉讲什么？ 哎呀，我就有这个， 我就有这个， 你若无好我， 你无听我。
And so I tell you, when we feel that we need something, we deserve something,
兄弟姐妹，
let me tell you, brothers and sisters, nothing is yours. Nothing is mine. Nothing.
但是咱今仔日你甲我，我当享受。
But today, you and I, the fact that we can enjoy, this is only because of God's love.
所以你不能以为说，哎呀，我配得得到，我应该得到，我应该得到，我爱，我爱上帝，你干那不好啊。
So never think that you deserve something that God has given you.
当咱有这个观念，咱常常会怀疑上帝听。
When we have this misconception, that is when we often doubt God.
第二个原因常常让咱怀疑上帝听。
Second reason why we often doubt God.
咱爱比较。
Is that we like to compare.
咱比较这个，讲上帝干那你好与我无啊。
We compare. Why does he have that? Why don't I have that? Why does this certain woman have a lot of suitors while I don't? Why is the one I'm courting does not want me? So people want her, they don't want me. In business, why does he earn so much money while I don't? Why is he so smart in his studies while I'm not? So oftentimes in our comparisons, then we begin to doubt God's love. We think that God does not love us, and that is the reason why he does not give us these things. Brothers and sisters, that's not true. It's not. Nothing is ours. If God wants to give someone else a little bit more, can he do that? He can. But that is not the basis of love. Because God Himself is love. Whatever He has given you, that is what is good for you. So let me tell you, for those who are not yet married, you may pray to find your partner. Because when you're unmarried, you think that being married is good. So you want to get married. But after you're married, you say that, oh, marriage life is so difficult. Apparently, being married is not as easy as we thought. I wish I wasn't married instead. That is why when I conduct weddings, I say no return, no exchange.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
因为你也说了,不会再换了嘛。
Because after you say those words, then there is no more exchange.
所以我跟你说哦,
so I tell you,
你有这个东西,
when you have this thing,
你加了这个恩典,
and you have this blessing,
你就加了这个责任,
then you also have an additional responsibility.
你加了这个答,
you have an additional responsibility.
上帝是公平啊,
God is very fair.
上帝公平啊,
God is fair.
所以呢,现在上帝没给那项,感谢主,你明白吗?
So if God didn't give you something, then praise God.
那上帝给你那项,你也是感谢主,你知道吗?
And if God gives you a little bit more, you also have to praise Him.
因为上帝给你那项,上帝对你就有要求。
Because when God gives you a little bit more, it means that He is also asking more from you. So in Chinese we say, a man who compares will only get himself frustrated. So I tell you, if you want to die earlier, then compare more. Go ahead, compare what you have with others more. You'll die earlier. There is no need to compare. Because God is love. And because God is love, there is no need to compare. So if God has given you, then praise Him. If He has not, then also praise Him. Do not doubt God's love to you. So when God opens a road for you, thank Him. But when God leads you a rocky path, also praise Him. Do not doubt God's love. He has already given you the most precious thing, that is Jesus Christ. What else do you want? Do you understand? So we see in this passage that our God is not only an intimate God, but our God is also a God of love. So we see in David's prayer, I'm sure all of us are familiar with Psalm 23. And there is one verse there that is very precious.
Wow, it seems it says,
and that is surely goodness and mercy will follow me all of my life. And it means that God, that you have God's love. So God loves you. Do not doubt God's love. So can you tell the person beside you, God loves you. Because God truly does love you. And that is precious. Third, our God is not only an intimate God. Our God is also a loving God. And third, our God is a righteous and just God. I'm
going to
read 31 and 32. Because we see that Solomon understands this God is a just and righteous God. In verse 31 he says, Verse 31, if a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath and comes and swear his oath before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants, condemning the guilty by bringing his conduct on his own head and vindicating the righteous by rewarding him according to his righteousness. And this passage is saying, Lord, listen to his prayer. A sinner who has sinned, and the righteous man has you. If a sinner who has sinned, may you judge him accordingly. And when a righteous man comes before you, may you bless him. You know, I love the word It's like a scale. It is a scale. Whatever you have done or whatever you have given, the other side is also counterbalanced. So whatever it is you have done, then you will also receive the appropriate counterpart. So what is just? Just is receiving what you should have received. When you have done bad things, then you should be judged. And when you do good things, then you should receive blessings from
God.
So we see that Solomon was clear that God is a righteous God. God does not haphazardly judge people. So if you receive something from God, that means you deserve it. So why is God just? Why is his judgment always correct? There are several reasons. First, you see, God not only sees the outside, but also the inside. We know that when God judges people, He does not only judge on what is outside, but rather it is based on what is inside. In other words, He sees not only your actions, but also your intentions. For example, in business, and when you're a businessman, and you're very jealous of the other person, because he has a lot of businesses, and he invites you to join. And he invites you to an event, and you have to congratulate him. But inside, you might congratulate him on his opening event, but inside your heart, you are saying, "I wish you lose more money." Because a lot of people's actions on the outside is not in line with whatever they're feeling inside. Once there was a wedding, and there was a person seated. And he was very happy that this couple is getting married. But on the other side, there was another person. And these two people had different responses. This other person's response was, now remember, one was very happy, while the other one said, he or she said that this couple is foolish. They don't know how hard it is to be married. And that's what he told me. But later on, when the newlyweds came before him, he said, "Congratulations." Do you understand what I'm saying? Behind their back, he was calling them foolish, but in front of them, he was congratulating them. So we see that man's intention and his actions are often different. But God knows. Second, God judges people not based on
self-interest.
Because a lot of people are judged based on what they can give you. What you can give me, then I will judge you accordingly. But God does not act this way. Why does God not act this
way?
Because God does not need anything from us, because He owns everything. And because of this, God can be just. And third, God does not need to pay attention to relationships. You know, in Tagalog, we have a word we call utang na loob, and that is interpersonal relationships. Now, because you and I have a certain special relationship, when I judge you, I might be a bit more lenient. But let me tell you, only we have debts to God. He does not owe us anything. So God does not need to look at relationships. And at the same time, God also does not need to look at family relationships. Because when people will often say, "This is my son," or "This is my father," then you would be a little bit more lenient. But let me tell you, God sees all of us as sinners. And because of that, God's judgment is clear. And when we understand that God is a righteous God, then let me tell you, in our lives, it is different. A lot of things You will no longer complain about.
Why?
When someone oppresses us, then you do not need to take vengeance. You just leave it to God. Leave it to God. Because God is a righteous God. Leave it to Him. You know, oftentimes we want to take revenge. But the more you take revenge, the more you sink into sin. And when you take revenge, then you start worrying. Just leave it to God. Now, I believe in our lives, oftentimes we have been oppressed by people. And at the same time, I believe that you have also taken advantage of other people. You know, I'm sure all of us have at some point or another been oppressed or oppressed someone else. But it is also true that we are often oppressed. But remember, God is righteous. Leave it to God. Now in my life, I have also been taken advantage of. And I also admit, I have taken advantage of others. And now my most vivid memory is that when I had just departed from Vietnam, and my father sent money to me. Because my dad had a business acquaintance, a friend in business here. And at that time, he owed my father several tens of thousands of dollars. So my father told him, it's fine, let's scrap the debt. Because it has already fallen. So just scrap it. But right now, I'm going to give you money. Please give this money to my son in the Philippines. And my dad told me this. And why did that man need money? Why did my dad need to course the money through there? Because it was hard to bring money here. Oh, because this man needed money, and the Philippines could not bring money to him in Vietnam. And second, because this man had a mistress in the Philippines, so he had to feed the mistress. So he needed money. So my father told him, since you need money, I'll give you this money. Then ask your household in the Philippines to send money. So my dad gave me a certain sum. And he informed me that I have to get this amount. But when I approached him and to get my money, I remember this man's wife was very fat. And she was seated in her king's seat. And she was seated on this king, this emperor's seat. And she gave me 200 pesos. And she would give me 200 pesos every month. Now, if I wasn't mistaken, they should have given me 10,000 pesos. Because they have already taken 10,000 pesos worth of Vietnamese money. But instead, they only gave me 200. Now, after half a year, they still kept giving me 200. But they would make me wait for 2 to 3 hours. 8 months later, they told me, I wonder if your dad really did send money to you. And I knew at that point that this person was going to didn't want to give me any more. At the time, I was only 15 or 16 and I needed to live. So I had to wait. I had to wait for 3 hours. And at the end, I was so frustrated. I said, I don't want this money anymore. Now, at that time, I was already a Christian. I said, I don't want this. And I tell you, I was full of pride. And I tell you, the more prideful you are, the more you have to eat yourself. Because you have to eat by yourself, you have to live by yourself. Because it's very hard. But I was already a Christian at that point. And I thank God for several things. Is that first, God is love. So God provided for me to live. And now what about the fat lady in the empress seat? You know what happened to them? They live in the
Manawa.
They were in the car, the auto business. You know what happened? Her factory burned down. And I was very happy. But let me tell you one thing clearly. I never prayed for their business to burn down. I never did that. But they really did suffer through a fire. And lately, when I mellowed down, I thank God for one thing. Revenge is with God. No, God is the bringer of revenge. No, there is no need for us to do it ourselves. Because God is a righteous God. So if you are oppressed by other people, you know, let it go. But don't say, now keep on oppressing me. That's just foolish. Just leave it to God. Why? Because the Bible says the righteous man who is righteous will receive God's blessing. In other words, when you do what is right, God will bless you. So even though I don't have that 200 pesos, thank God I'm still healthy right now. Because he has to say
healthy.
Because he is also very healthy. So thank God. So brothers and sisters, the more we understand our God, the more you can see how beautiful our life is. And because we can leave everything to God. So who is our God? He's a God who reveals himself. He is a faithful God. He is an intimate God. He is a loving God. And he is a righteous God. And the more we know him, there is nothing in this world that can compare to him. May God help us. Next week, we will continue to learn more about attributes of God. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being an intimate and loving God. We also thank you for making us realize that you are a righteous God, that we can leave our vengeances, our negative emotions to you, O Lord. Lord, as we continue through this week, may you lead our lives, and may we continue to live our lives for you and to glorify you in each of our aspects of life. In everything, O Lord, we give thanks to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.